Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates as NBA free agency continues. Not as dramatic of a day as Monday or Tuesday. In fact, I get newsletters from NBA.com, and every night it says these were the top deals of the day. Yesterday, there were about 25 deals. Today, they have announced three. So Dante Exum is returning to Dallas on a one-year deal. Spencer Dinwiddie is signing with Charlotte, leaving Dallas on a one-year deal. And the big one, I mean, it is. I don't know that his career has gone the way that we thought it might, but DeAndre Ayton is, in fact, signing with the Lakers after receiving a buyout from the Trailblazers. It will be a two-year deal there. The Hornets are going to be bad, right? Their lineup is interesting. I'm looking at their projected starting lineup, the Charlotte Hornets. LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, Konknipple, who they drafted, Miles Bridges, and Ryan Kalkbrenner. Ryan Kalkbrenner, for those hoop heads, was drafted with pick 34 this year out of Creighton. They also traded for Colin Sexton. They just signed Trey Mann. They traded for Pat Connaughton. They signed Mason Plumlee. Yeah, this team it's just a junk drawer of team of players. That's what the team is. Honey, you got the have you seen our Mason Plumlee lying around anywhere? Oh yeah, it's in the drawer by the garbage cans. Oh, okay. Oh, wow, that's where my Miles Bridges went. I've been looking for that. The big news, DeAndre Ayton signing with the Lakers, and I suppose we can say it is big. Look, we all know that the Lakers need, well, they need a lot. They need to figure out what they're doing. They need to figure out if they're going to get a deep bench. That is a problem there. And they need to figure out how to get a big man. Last year, they tried to get a big man. They traded for Mark Williams from the Hornets, and then they did not agree to his medical reports, his physical, and they said, no, actually, we can't do this. So they rescinded the trade. Dalton Connect was supposed to be in that trade, who they drafted out of Tennessee, and he is still with the team. So this obviously helps their big man rotation. Their starting center before this, I guess number one on the depth chart, you could have started Jared Vanderbilt. You could have started Maxi Kleba, who got traded to them and did not play, if I'm correct, until a desperation move in the playoffs for the Lakers. The starting five for LA is Luka, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, DeAndre Ayton. The backup rotation would be Gabe Vincent, Jordan Goodwin, Jake LaRavia, Jared Vanderbilt, and Maxi Kleba. So the depth is severely lacking on this Lakers team, that is for sure. But they did add, so they're better than they were this morning. But how much of an impact is DeAndre Ayton going to have on this Lakers team? He was the number one pick back in 2018, the year that Luka went three. Actually, this is yet another number one overall pick to end up on a team with LeBron James, Joe Smith, Shaq, Greg Oden, Kyrie Irving, Andrew Bogut, Derrick Rose, Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, and DeAndre Ayton have all at one point played with LeBron James. That is nine number one picks. That's really, that record won't be broken. You got to play a long time with different teams. You got to play a long time where you may be on a team and you get a number one pick, or the number one pick goes to a new contract, or the number one pick's coming to you off a buyout deal. Like, that's got to be a record that's going to last for a while. 9 different number one overall picks have now played with LeBron James once they hit the floor together for the first time in a Lakers jersey. If, of course, LeBron stays in a Lakers jersey, his son Bronny James offered some insight, or really lack thereof, at a media session earlier today.
Everybody wondering what your dad's gonna do.
Yeah, actually, one of my friends called me talking about what I was gonna do, because they seen my dad, whatever. I didn't see it. He called me. I was like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. So, pretty much just the question. Yeah, I don't really pay attention to that stuff. So, there's a lot of stuff going around that I don't pay attention to. So,
all right. So, doesn't really seem to have an answer, or like many people do. Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, really? I don't recall. When they don't want to lie. Oh, I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. There's no way Bronny James doesn't pay attention to the stuff going around with LeBron James. Do you think Bronny James listens to the Mind the Game podcast? Do you think he listens to LeBron talking to Steve Nash? You think you would, right? But then, you know, maybe you wouldn't. But this is a completely different situation. They're teammates. LeBron James and Bronny James are teammates. They're father and son. I still think that's remarkable. I still think, and the pendulum swings for me on LeBron. I give him credit for this, and then he does something stupid, and then, oh, that's really quite an achievement, and why you got to be so corny? But the fact that he was good enough to essentially tell the team he was on, hey, draft my kid, I think at the age that he is, I think that's pretty impressive. I suppose it could be a question, would that have flown this year? If LeBron James or Bronny James, because we thought he might stay in school another year. He was at USC. We thought he might stay in school. If he would have stayed in school, come out in this draft, do the Lakers take Bronny James? Is that something that the Lakers would have, like, they'd say, no, we're not taking your kid. We're moving on from you. They did have a pick in this draft, which was traded to Chicago. So just wanted to make sure that they did have a pick, because otherwise, I mean, they probably would have tried to trade the pick anyway. Well, we don't have a pick. Sorry, LeBron. We'll sign him as a free agent, maybe. Would they have even done that? I mean, they're keeping him on the team. He's still on the team, so it's not like they're jettisoning him out. It's a very weird situation with the Lakers right now, because they seem to want to be building towards 2027. And if you read Lakers reports for the last 15 years, they're always trying to keep some cap room open. At some point, maybe, you know, do it now. Now, they did win the title back in 2020. So they got LeBron, Anthony Davis. They won a title. But if you have LeBron James for 7 seasons, and we've seen this now, except the first run with the Cavs, you should probably win a title. You should probably win a title. If you have him for 7 seasons, you should probably at some point be winning a championship. And the Lakers got one, and I would think that that's the floor. Now, maybe there's an organization, because he had to come back to Cleveland, but he did eventually get one there. But 7 seasons of LeBron James, I mean, this guy's been the best player in the world for 20 years, or at least top 2, 3. I mean, right now he's not probably top 3, 5, but there's nights he is. There's nights he's top 10. I mean, all season, he's 40 years old. He's top 20 player in the league. How long can he continue to do that? But the Lakers have pivoted here, where they're Luka's team now. their Lucas team. Even DeAndre Ayton on this two-year contract, the 2027 free agent class, these guys will be older, but there's going to be two big names there that can opt out of player extensions if they haven't gotten traded at the time, I should clarify, since Bucks signed Miles Turner and nobody is convinced that Giannis is still staying. The content machine churning out these takes, it's just incredible. It's blowing my mind what is happening here. But Giannis could be a free agent that year, and Jokic could be a free agent. Could one of them want to opt out, play in L.A., play alongside Luka, which does not seem to be something that LeBron is particularly enjoying. There's been speculation on that. If Austin Reeves is enjoying that. The Lakers have some work to do. They still have some work to do, but I don't know how serious they are about trying to win with LeBron James and Luka Doncic. If you're going to wait a couple of years to try to get Giannis or to try to get Jokic or to try to get Steph, who'll be 39 then, or some of these other guys that might be available, you've already got a pairing that is incredible. You got to find a way to make that work. I know sometimes, you know, a team will have two guys and maybe it doesn't work. That's what we saw with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, although they only played a half hour of playoff minutes together because they were injured over the course of two seasons. And when you never really got to see that materialize. But if you got Luka and you got LeBron, I mean, you should be trying to build a winner around that. LeBron, for years with the Lakers, has been opting into he's been opting out of the player option and then re-signing essentially, he's been on options for the entire tenure. Signs for a couple years, player option, and then he'll decline it, sign another 1-1. So there's a lot of these two-year deals, which it's a two-year deal, but the player can opt out and then try to sign another longer deal. You see that happen a lot. That's been how LeBron's been operating in Los Angeles, so he can have a little bit of control in case things don't go his way. Maybe put some pressure on the Lakers. Maybe have that carrot of, hey, I could leave at some point if you're not willing to have me or if I don't like how things are going. And now it seems that the first part is true, that he may end up leaving because the Lakers are looking to move on. So if you're the Lakers this season, you need a big. You got to have a big. So you got DeAndre Ayton. You needed a big. You got DeAndre Ayton. Okay, good. But now it's a question of, can we ship LeBron somewhere? Can we send him somewhere else? Can we get a return for him? I mean, we have LeBron James, and if he's not a part of our future, we're going to let him walk next year. That's going to be cap space, and we don't think we're in the LeBron James business anymore unless he's willing to play second fiddle, which I don't even know if he knows how to do that. He quite literally never has. So it's curious to see how that will work, but there's got to be another trade partner. You know, if LeBron James is available, you would think there'd be so many times in the course of his career where, absolutely. I mean, last year we were talking about teams drafting Bronny as a way to force a LeBron trade. If you want to play with your son, you gotta get traded. Or we'll give you, and you get us another package. We were talking about all those different scenarios. But LeBron at this point, it's going to be a big question mark. I would assume that he just stays a Laker. I mean, the fantasy land of dreaming of a LeBron trade is interesting. But that's a big salary that someone's going to have to take on, and you're essentially going to have to gut your team to do it. So doesn't seem to match for too many people and too many teams. And so LeBron will likely finish this season as a Laker. And we're going to be wondering if it's his final season, because is he going to want to go play somewhere else? I used to always think that LeBron, what I would do if I was him, is you won in Cleveland, you won in Miami. I would just be like, all right, I'm a free agent this year. I'll go play somewhere and see if I can't win a title with the Washington Wizards. Or see if I can't go win a title with the New Jersey Nets. Wow, Brooklyn Nets. Wow, 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 wow. And maybe I'll go try to win a title with the Phoenix Suns. Just go somewhere for a year. Have every year be the decision. Hell, one year, just spin a wheel and say, I'm going to go wherever this wheel lands. That's what that I would like to see a career like that someday. But the guy's got to be super good and already accomplished, and I thought that would be neat. But if he doesn't finish his career in L.A., where could he possibly finish it? And who's going to try to want to shoehorn a now then 42-year-old player into their lineup? So very interesting. Ayton, to go back to the signing, number one draft pick in 2018, spent a handful of years with the Suns, did make a finals. Then with Portland, it has not gone great. He was a part, actually, of the Damian Lillard trade, which ended up being a bad trade for everyone. Ayton and a draft pick went to the Blazers, along with Jrue Holiday, who they got rid of. And then Damian Lillard went to the Bucks, and then the Suns got Grayson Allen, Yusuf Nurkic, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. His time with Portland hasn't been great. He only played in 40 games this season, 55 a season ago. When he was first drafted, they asked him what he wanted to achieve in the league, and he said, I want to make sure I get a second contract, which I actually think is a great answer. That means you're playing well enough to stay in the league and you get paid another time. Yeah, I think that's a great answer. But he did get clowned for that because of the motivation. Does money not motivate? Did we not all mostly wake up and do what we did today because of money? Is it wrong for him to say the quiet part out loud? So Lakers signing DeAndre Ayton. The Pacers could have been an option for him. He actually signed an offer sheet with them a while ago, which did not go through. If it would have went through, that entire team would have looked different because then he was retained by the Suns, eventually traded to Portland. So the Lakers got their big, but what is this team going to look like? And are they going to be able to put a winning product on the court? You look at their roster, you're looking at a 6th, 7th, 8th best team in the West. West is loaded. A team with Luka and LeBron, not even guaranteed to host a playoff series. And maybe that's part of why the Lakers are keeping their eyes forward, as they always seem to do. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The Knicks have their man, finally. Was it worth the search? We'll talk about that coming up on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The United States of America men's national soccer team in action tonight, beating Guatemala 2-1. In the Gold Cup semifinals, this is the tournament that is held every few years for teams in North America, the CONCACAF region. There is another game on right now that I am keeping a close eye on. It is Mexico against Honduras, and they are playing in sunny Santa Clara tonight. A very vibrant crowd, it seems, and they are scoreless 17 minutes into the game. Should we provide updates on this one, or should we? I mean, you might as well just take that out of the podcast.
Open wide for some soccer!
Do you want Mexico-Honduras updates? Or no?
I personally don't care. Maybe my wife will appreciate it, as she's Mexican.
And listening.
But I don't. Oh, she's definitely not listening. She is a podcast connoisseur, so she listens later.
I don't know that my wife ever. I did a hit on local TV today at like 4:30 for their 4 o'clock news about the Bucks, and plug the show, of course, plug this show.
Damn straight.
One thing I said on the TV news today was, yeah, I don't know why everybody still thinks Giannis is going to leave Milwaukee. I'm out there on these streets supporting Milwaukee, unlike the rest of these national bums on the 4 o'clock news from my basement where I did the Zoom call. So I told her I was going to be on TV, and she's like, "Ah, I don't know. Isn't that a novelty? You just be on TV. You don't just be on TV.
Right. They don't let Yahoo just get on.
Yeah, well, your husband's on TV. You're in a room with a TV. She was watching something on Netflix.
Does she not know how talented you are?
No, she does. She's been a strong advocate and supporter of me. Teams that were drafted by not the team they were drafted by. What was that?
I just wanted a drop to kind of illustrate your talent.
When did I say that?
I think sometime last week.
Can you play that one again? I sound like drunk. Teams that were drafted by not the team they were drafted by. Yeah, I was talking about the NBA. That makes sense.
Yeah, but you said teams that were drafted by teams.
Oh, yeah. Teams that were drafted by not the team they were drafted by.
What the hell? What the hell?
That's how I sound?
No. Routinely? Of course. Why do you think people like this show? Why do you think I got a folder full of Bart drops, too?
Hey, the Knicks hired, what's that guy's name? Mike Brown. Knicks hired Mike, the Knicks. Okay, I got that right. So that's the news of the day. I won't give any more updates just in case you're DVRing Mexico-Honduras. That is the appropriate answer there. But the Knicks did make a hire.
I'd want to ask you why.
Yeah, you know how sometimes we watch games and then kind of do a on-the-fly post-game show? I'll break down Mexico-Honduras after, if you'd like. Hour five. So Mike Brown has had a very interesting career. I feel like Mike Brown gets opportunities, and then the team that hired him is like, oh, we hired this Mike Brown? That's what I feel like has gone on a little bit in his coaching career. Mike Brown, first an assistant with the Wizards, then an assistant with the Spurs, then an assistant with the Pacers, and he earned himself his first head coaching job in the NBA in 2005, becoming the coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. He did very well there, but eventually was fired from Dan Gilbert after they were trying to lure LeBron back. He then went to the Lakers, where he coached for two seasons. And this was the year they had Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, along with Meta World Peace, Paul Gasol, and Kobe Bryant. Eventually was dismissed there. Rehired by the Cavs when Dan Gilbert had said firing Brown for the first time was a mistake. But then he got fired like a year later. So, all right. And then he's been an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors for a good 6 years before taking over for the Sacramento Kings and then eventually getting fired from there. So he has had success at varying levels, but then that last year, things do seem to deteriorate, although not even in Cleveland. I mean, they lost in the conference semifinals. He had 61 games. I feel like he's been a head coach in three different cities, four different stops. He's been a head coach for the better part of, well, 1 year with the Lakers. He only coached for five games. So the better part of 7-8 years. I feel like he's deserved more than that up to this point. And he was the guy who filled in for Steve Kerr on occasion in Golden State, and he was well-respected there. The 1 year that Kerr couldn't coach because of back pain, he led him to a 12-0 record while in the playoffs. So I do think that he is a good coach. I think that he may have success with the Knicks. I think the Knicks could have done worse, but also could the Knicks have done better, and should the Knicks have made this move at all? Remember, they gave Tom Thibodeau an extension, didn't even let him see it, made it as far as they've made it in 25 years, and then decided to fire him, which does seem like, from afar, a firing for the sake of firing, because then they were starting to interview other coaches that already had jobs. It was clear that Mike Brown was not their first choice, or he would have been their first choice. I think it's ultimately a good hire and maybe the best out of a bad situation, because I'm not sure Thibodeau should have been fired with to begin with. Marco Belletti, our resident Knicks expert, your thoughts on the move, friend?
Meh. That's basically what it comes down to. Look, this could have been a lot worse, but it's not as bad as it could have been. So, look, Thibodeau should have never been let go. The Knicks had no business moving on from Tom Thibodeau, but if you did, it had to be because you knew that this was the guy that was going to get them to the next step. This was the guy we've pinned to take us to the promised land, first championships in 73. It wasn't. This was James Dolan doing what James Dolan does, an impetuous owner who's resided over garbage for 30 years, and he made a stupid move, firing a coach that he had no business firing, and they didn't know where to go, and they tried to pluck someone else's coach for, what, 2 weeks? And no one was biting. No one would let them talk to their head coach. Try to get Jason Kidd. Try to get Ime Udoka. Try to get everybody in the, under the sun. And then they finally...
Not Doc Rivers. They didn't sniff around Doc Rivers.
You're right. They didn't sniff around Doc Rivers. So Mike Brown is, to me, for the Knicks, with the idea of trying to get to a championship, it would have been a disaster in my mind to go with a first-time coach, because it would have been too much pressure in New York, coming off the firing of Tibbs, getting to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. It was too much. It wouldn't have made sense. So you needed somebody with experience. And there weren't a lot of good names that were out there with experience or wanted to do anything to do with your organization. So to land on Mike Brown, you could do worse, but you didn't do any better than what you let go.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I think Mike Brown is a good coach. He made the finals that second year he was there in Cleveland. He's made the playoffs a handful of times, but then when he went to Sacramento, it did not work out the way that they would have wanted. They had a series against Golden State where he had just come from that was pretty contentious, that I believe went 7, but then lost there. Otherwise, maybe the outcome in Sacramento is different. But it's been situations where, look, he got fired the first time in Cleveland. He had a very short leash in L.A. They rehire him in Cleveland, say it was a mistake, and then fire him after a year. He goes to Sacramento. I think that was more roster building than it was Mike Brown's fault. And now he's going to go to New York. I mean, you take the job that's available, but he's going to go to New York, and he just got this job because a guy who just got an extension, who hasn't even seen that through yet, was fired for doing the best job with a team that anyone's done in New York for a quarter of a century.
Look, Mike Brown is the new scapegoat for when James Dolan eventually moves on from him and pins all the Knicks' problems on Mike Brown. But at the same time, this is a, at best, lateral move. Let's be fair. From Thibodeau to Brown, it's an, at best, lateral move. That's what the Knicks did. Best case scenario, you moved laterally. That's not the way you want to go about your organization, but unfortunately with James Dolan, it's par for the course, and that's what it's going to wind up being. You hope that for a Knick fan is that the idea that Brown works out and kind of stays out of the way of what was built already before him, because I don't think it's going to come crumbling down. That's why I said I think it was, he's not a bad coach. He's just not a great coach, and the Knicks were in a position where with a wide-open Eastern Conference, we know all the injuries and everything else, trying to take that next step, continuity would have made a hell of a lot more sense, or the guy that, well, you know, but you can't pass up the opportunity to get this coach. None of that's here. This is just another guy who's been around the block, and let's see if maybe, you know, throw darts up against the board and maybe it sticks.
Well, congrats. As a Knicks fan, congrats on the new coach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at least they have a coach because, you know, when you make all your moves, you want to make sure you do that without anybody in place. Except your assistant coaches, because you want to make sure that those are lined up, because apparently the Knicks assistant coaches were lined up before Mike Brown got the head job.
Ooh, that does not work out. That's a big reason why Adrian Griffin got fired in Milwaukee, because they had all these other assistant coaches. Terry Stotts was in Milwaukee for like 2 weeks before he's like, this situation sucks, and it did not go well. And then Doc Rivers consulted, and then eventually took the guy's job, and I don't think anyone's heard from Adrian Griffin now in a year and a half, which is very weird.
The only positive with the assistants, the first one that was going to stay, is that it's Rick Brunson, Jalen Brunson's father. So if you knew you were getting the Knick job, you were inheriting Rick Brunson, whether you liked it or not. So that one's not as big a deal.
Yeah.
But a couple of the other assistants apparently were going to stay as well, which is, again, just dumb. Like, if you're going to move on from the coach, wouldn't you want him to pick his own staff? And don't you want him to have the voice of, and all the propaganda machine here in New York? You want a coach that's going to build the roster and player development. I thought winning was the objective every year. Now all of a sudden it's player development and getting more minutes for your bench. All the things that Tibbs apparently is not good at. So there's some frustration with a lot of people, myself included, that you make this type of move when you finally have a team that could maybe make some noise.
Marco Belletti, thank you as always for your insight.
Sure.
What a guy. Yeah, sure. What a guy. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. That just some of the news of the day. For the full rundown of today's events, here he is again, Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Mookie jumps up and he has it in the glove, and a Yankee fan ripped it out of him. But the umpire down the right field line is signaling that is an out.
The biggest voices in sports.
Appreciate everything that, you know, the Houston Astros team, and I don't think I could have gone to, you know, a much better organization than the Cubs.
The heartbreak.
It's a party at Dodger Stadium of the New York Mets. As they leave the field and head to their clubhouse, have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of as they gave their fans one of the most memorable runs in their 63-year franchise history.
The celebrations.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That it is. Happy hump day, everybody. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025. And we will start our audio with today's segment with Bronny James, son of LeBron James, who, like his dad, is a Laker. Although his dad may or may not be a Laker for much longer, no idea. Maybe DeAndre Ayton signing kind of swings the pendulum back for LeBron to go, yay, L.A. But LeBron, he was asked around, I guess, some type of practice. I don't know what the hell they're doing. It's the offseason. But Bronny's asked about the rumors circulating his father possibly seeking a trade, and this is how you would answer a question without answering a question.
No, we don't really talk about it much, but I think when stuff like that does come up, he just tells me to not worry about it, not even pay attention to it, just locking into what you have going on right now. And that's what's going to get me better and stay, you know, keep me focused. So I think it's good that he, you know, told me to not pay attention to that stuff.
He was interviewed because the Lakers are taking part in the California Classic. There is basketball this weekend. So the Summer League starting, I think, next week. But this tournament, round robin, is being hosted by the Warriors. And the Spurs and Heat are in it as well. And I think they all play each other. And so you can watch basketball on Saturday afternoon and Sunday. This weekend, you can watch some version of NBA basketball. Bronny James will be participating in that. As far as his dad, it's very interesting. Talked about it a little to start the show. LeBron is not the number one option. Even at the end of last season, it still felt like, all right, Luka's on LeBron's team, but it's a clear indication now that the Lakers didn't want to do the extension that they had been doing. And LeBron, you got a contract, take your player option like the rest of these people do, and after that, it might be deuces. So, interesting stuff to monitor in L.A.
All right, let's stay on the basketball here. Let's go back to Kevin Durant. He was on the Mind the Game podcast with LeBron and Steve Nash. Played a little audio yesterday of him on the Bulletin Blitz, and we'll kind of redo that, but here's a different subject. I guess he's looking around the state of the league, and he says small guards are a detriment in today's NBA.
6'2" and under guard is at a premium no more as a starter. Maybe as a backup, you can't get picked on defense. That's the thing, because we play in such a pick-on game that they will really, literally, if you can't guard, they will bring you up every play.
Every
6 foot, 6'1", and you're not a bulldog like a Davion Mitchell, Drew Holidays, on the defensive side, or you're not an offensive, flat-out savant like Kyrie, where you can score on dudes 7 feet easily in ISO, then I just can't see it.
So what's interesting is that he's telling this to LeBron James, and you just heard from him, but Bronny James is listed as 6'3", which let's call him 6'1", 6'2". So Kevin Durant essentially telling LeBron that your son's not going to make it in the league. And I'm sure LeBron's heard that before, but in a slightly more indirect way. I think this time on the Mind the Game podcast, which is really just, I mean, it's audio. It's just audio at its purest form of enjoyment.
Yes, to be enjoyed with a glass of Bordeaux, preferably from the 19th century, because every real basketball fan drinks old wine. Let's go to the WNBA, making a little bit of news out off the court. Remember, Sophie Cunningham made, you know, a bunch of new followers for her defense of Caitlin Clark, so yay for her. But she seems to be critical of her own league, the WNBA. They are expanding. Three new teams will be added. Cleveland, Detroit, and Philadelphia will... That's right. They will all be getting their teams. Probably not right, but this thing is outdated as hell. Anyway, she doesn't understand why... She doesn't understand... why some of these cities are getting a franchise.
You want to listen to your players, too. Like, where do they want to play? Where are they going to get excited to play and draw fans? I do think that Miami would have been a great one. Like, everyone loves Florida. Nashville is an amazing city. Kansas City, amazing opportunity. There's a huge arena downtown that no one's using. Man, I don't know how excited people are to be going to Detroit or Cincinnati.
Well, let me see here.
First of all, why did I think Houston was getting a team? That was throwing me off.
Houston probably will get a team at some point again.
I just said, I had an ultimate brain fart. Like, I have it in front of me. It's Cleveland, Detroit, and Philadelphia. But I'm like, wasn't Houston on this list? So, yeah, there it is.
The Cleveland metro population is 2.1 million people. Detroit's metro is 4.3. It's clear that people want to live there. Those other places are probably sweet to live too, but you can also just like go there on vacation maybe. In Indianapolis, their metro is 2.1 million. It's essentially the same kind of city as the city that she plays in. So she's making rivals with these cities that don't even have teams yet. I'm not in the business of like crapping on other cities. I'm just not in the business of that. Even when it comes to like rivalry time, I don't like it. Plus, with all the fine affiliates that we have, I don't want to. You might be living in one of these cities, although some of you in Tennessee maybe need to chill out.
Yeah, seriously, figure out where in Tennessee you are. What's wrong with Philadelphia other than the fact that it's Philadelphia? And then Detroit and, Cleveland, these are all metropolitan cities. They're not putting it in Walla Walla, no disrespect to anybody who lives up there. I said that
because Tennessee Titans wear Oilers throwbacks, and I don't like that.
There are some pretty sweet throwbacks. All right, let's get one more in here. I was going to play Bill Cowher audio, but now I'm not going to because your team, the Brewers, just dropped a second game. They played a doubleheader. They beat the Mets 7-2 the first game. But what have you done for me lately? You lose the second game 7-3. What's up with your boy, Jacob Mizorowski? Brandon Nimmo hit a grand slam off of him. And here he is talking about how his team was able to get to the Brewers rookie phenom.
Very, very good pitcher. I think he's going to have a great career. Very good stuff. But, we were able to capitalize on some mistakes. And, Great job early on there by Mauricio and Beatty and Singer, getting those hits and getting on base, creating traffic.
They had a fielding mishap, not an error, but a fielding mishap that could have got him out of the inning. And then, of course, the grand slam was hit right after that. Jacob Mizorowski, this kid's 6'7", 197 pounds. He had 11 innings of no-hit ball to start his career. That's how he started his career. Through the first three games, it was 16 innings, only allowing three hits. This, the second home run that he gave up tonight. But yeah, the Mets and Brewers kind of toggling amongst themselves in the standings. My kid was watching the Brewers. He watches Brewers at night if they're on instead of reading books. And my wife asked me about an hour ago, what else is on? He says, this is the worst game ever. So my kid's already got the sports mood swings.
That's
of a
right.
Tortured
Welcome to Phantom, kiddo.
Soul. Losing a July game to the Mets after they already won earlier today. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.